Well, thank you very much. That's from the album Quadrophenia. Yes, not just schizophrenic, quadrophrenic. And it's interesting, on the old record itself, the vinyl record, it's the punk meets the Godfather, but now it's the punk and the Godfather. I got a little update for you. As you may know, Japan has been awarded the 2020 Olympic Games. And in an article from the Independent in the UK, Prime Minister Abe said, "Some may have concerns about Fukushima. Let me assure you, the situation is under control. It has never done and will never do any damage to Tokyo. It poses no problem whatsoever. There are no health-related problems until now, nor will there be in the future. I make the statement to you in the most emphatic and unequivocal way." Well, crucially, officials managed to convince judges that fears over the Fukushima nuclear plant disaster, which unfolded 150 miles away from Tokyo in 2011, could still cause contamination, were unwarranted. The governor of Tokyo, Naoki Inose, insisted, "The radiation level in Tokyo is no different to London, New York, or Paris. It's absolutely safe. 35 million people live there in very normal conditions." This was contrasted with Madrid, eliminated in the first round of voting last night, which promised a low-cost spend in a time of economic crisis. But in any case, they're prepared to spend, well, get this, this is important. Some felt the lasting Fukushima fallout might have been a stumbling block for voting members following reports that 300 tons of radioactive water is leaking into the Pacific Ocean every day. The International Atomic Energy recently reclassified the event from 1 to 3 on a 7-point scale. It has now been classed as a serious incident, and the government is set to spend £320 million on trying to contain the leaks. But Abe says, oh, no problem, no problem. A physician has stated on ENE News, statement by Canadian officials indicates Fukushima contamination was detected in fish at levels that are difficult to explain without undue alarm. That's from the Huffington Post. Or this is rather, sockeye, salmon, sushi, use a Geiger counter. Worries in Hawaii in another article over Fukushima radioactive leaks. Concern as to whether seafood coming into state is safe. Growing sense of crisis at Fukushima. TEPCO very concerned about high levels of contamination in groundwater thought to be clean was to be pumped into ocean as part of bypass plan. I know you get it, but just in case you don't, it's the money, it's the money, it's the money. It's all about the money. You will not be told what's up until it's already well underway. So, protect yourself. Go to my friend Vince Mazur's site, mazurinstruments.com. Got a little something special for you. Type in the promo box, John B. Get yourself a free internationally capable AC adapter for your ionizing radiation detection device, otherwise known as a Geiger counter. I would suggest that you do this as soon as you can, because as time goes by, with a bunch of radiation due to hit the West Coast in the first few months of the new year, which will get here before you know it, as you see time going by as fast as it does, they'll become expensive, they'll become in short supply, they will at some point, if it's as bad as some think it may be, they'll become unavailable for long periods of time. So do yourself a favor and avail yourself of that. Going back to a previous program with Samuel Milham, Dirty Electricity Program from August 17. A lot of people are concerned about smart meters. They're concerned about cell towers, high-tension power lines, the actual electrical grid in their homes. Not to mention the fact that antennas are actually, well, little coil springs that you sleep on every night. There are studies that have shown that those things actually are antennas. And there is an increase on the left sides of people for melanoma and other very, very serious skin conditions, and also inside the body as well as outside the body. Why is this? Most people sleep on their right side. There's an idea that maybe it's a natural thing because maybe less pressure is put on the heart when you're sleeping, but most people sleep on the right sides. Well, as the all this stuff, that all these transient frequencies that human beings are not used to and haven't been since the beginning of recorded history, because we're just doing it now, at least, you know, Civilizations rise and fall, but we can't remember before the last great dispensation because, well, I guess all the books were lost. Anyway, this stuff comes through your body, trying to get to the coil springs underneath your body, and it causes problems. So, what do you do about this? There are several things you can do about it. One of them is get yourself a futon or some sort of latex foam mattress. Get rid of the coil springs. My friend in Germany tells me that you'd have to go to an antique store and find a mattress from the 70s that had coil springs in it. They just don't do it. And the other part is, if you go to caravantomidnight.com, caravantomidnight.com, Dave Stetzer has arranged with us to supply dirty electricity filters and dirty electricity meters. And they're inexpensive. You may need up to 20, depending on the size of your home. But in any case, surround yourself with these filters. If you're in a room that you have a computer in, or you have a big screen TV, you've got a little workstation there with a power strip on the floor, what happens is the wire coming from the plug in your wall turns into an antenna and broadcasts at you. And your body absorbs it. So the filters are there. And if you buy 5 of these inexpensive devices to filter your dirty electricity, Caravan to Midnight will provide a free one with every 5 that you purchase. So that's a little treat from me personally to you and Dave Stetzer and Vince Mazur. Go to his site, MazurInstruments.com, and don't forget the promo code John B in the little box. All right, we'll be right back with Mark Dice in just a moment. We know what's good for you on Coast to Coast AM. It's always a good time when we have Mark Dice on the program. He's an agitator. And you know, the thing about it is, don't you find, Mark, that if everybody likes you, you got a problem?
Yeah, I like being hated. It's incredible. It makes me feel alive, and it's very entertaining. And I like pushing people's buttons. That's why one of my books is titled Causing Trouble. But my YouTube videos, youtube.com/MarkDice, they're entertaining, but they're also educational. And my goal is for people who share them on their Facebook page, many of their friends are going to be watching people sign these crazy petitions. And many of the viewers probably aren't even familiar with some of the material and the positions that I'm portraying in the video. So I'm hoping that, and I know that it does, the light bulbs are going off in a lot of the viewers' heads who see the videos.
You know, this is the thing that kills me. You know, and believe me, I get, it's not many, but I get some that are like, you're this and you're that. And it's like, oh, shut up. But when somebody says Dice is a fear-mongering shill, it's like, look, let me explain to you what a shill is. A shill is someone who works for the store, who poses as a customer and just lauds the products in hopes of prompting a legitimate customer into buying something. So I don't know what the H you would be shilling about, and it's just stupid. So that said, because I just want to straighten out anybody who's going, Jesus, you're a shill. It's like, shut up, and please, before you make an idiot of yourself, hush, and go look the word up before you start using it.
Yeah,
and I got one for you.
What kind of a shill am I? I mean, what's really incredible is that everybody has differences of opinion on certain issues. People have different political persuasions. Some people are conservative, some are liberal. And it's not that people don't say, a lot of these, you know, lunatics out there don't say that, well, I have a different view of things or I have a different conclusion. It's that he works for the CIA. He works for the Vatican. He's a Vatican assassin. You know, it's incredible the accusations that come at me show how ignorant people are, because I've covered a lot of the issues and fully exposed groups that I'm accused of working for. It's kind of entertaining, but it's kind of sad. And what's even more sad is that many of these people are people that think that they're on the cutting edge of the truth when they are the furthest thing from it.
Oh, yeah, I am alternately a Zionist, a Nazi, a liberal, a Republican, right-wing, wacko, everything in the book. And it's like, okay, let me ask you something. Do you ever, this is a good question. It comes from Marlene in Yucaipa. Do you ever confront these petition signers off camera and ask them why they signed, or do you just let them go?
Sometimes I do, and I don't like to give pearls to pigs, because I would spend all of my time explaining myself. It still just doesn't even compute. One time I had a guy make the rounds. He walked up and down the pier and came back, and a light bulb went off in his head, and we had a nice talk. Sometimes I will, but, you know, these people say all the time, oh, you should be educating these people, blah, 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 blah. You know, that's what the video's for. The videos get hundreds of thousands of views. It's not everybody who watches the video even has a clue. Many of the people who stumble across the videos or who find them on their friends' Facebook pages are just as zombified as the people who I encounter in the videos. I don't know how much more are clear. I mean, when they're signing it, I'm telling them, yes, this is like homicide for children. It's like the post-birth abortion. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Grab these people and start shaking them? And I don't think that they have a brain left, some of them.
Mark, honestly, and I'm not making this up, I was watching you discuss, and it sounded almost like you had a, are you out of New York by chance?
I'm originally from the Midwest.
Okay, well, you sounded kind of like you were from New York because you were talking about the infanticide thing, and it was kind of going, it's infanticide, you like it. And I'm watching this, and I'm laughing, and at the same time, I really have a sick, just this side of nausea going on in my stomach. And I tell people, you need to watch this. It would be funny if it were not so completely sickening. Because these people are serious. They really believe. Bless them. May they be blessed and enlightened. Please. It's going to take divine intervention to get their heads into the light. But they do not know what they're doing.
I did a video that was so outrageous. I had to show it to a Jewish friend of mine before I posted it because I didn't know if it was going to be received the way that I wanted it to, where it was a petition to save the Holocaust beach party. Two words, Holocaust party, should never, ever be used in the same sentence. A light bulb should go off. You know, a Holocaust memorial, a commemorative service, a Holocaust beach party. Save the Holocaust beach party. They're trying to cut it due to budget cuts. And then as these people are signing this, I thought I was going to get assaulted while I was doing the video, but it was surprisingly and very depressingly easy to fill the petition up. To save the Holocaust Beach Festival party, and then as they're signing it, you have to go and see it. It's right on the line of being inappropriate because it's kind of a touchy subject, and I don't want to make
Well, sure it is.
But I had to illustrate how far down the toilet these people's brains are, and as they're signing it, you could find this. Go search YouTube, Mark Dice Holocaust Beach Party. I'm telling them that they're having contests to dig holes in the sand and see how many people they can bury in the sand. It's a big contest that the Jews have. They're having barbecues. They're roasting pigs. I was making the most absurd statements ever, and I didn't know how well it was going to be received. So I had to run it by a friend of mine to see what he thought. He said, "Do it. This will clearly show how ignorant people are." It's incredible. I thought that was the one thing where I thought this is not going to work. I'm going to get assaulted. I'm going to have to explain to everybody, hey, I'm just doing a can of camera bit. Just relax. It went over. I was very angry. You could see the anger and the frustration in my face at the end of the video. It was very, very sad that the light bulb didn't go off. So we could talk about the cure for zombieism later. It's depressing, but there is a cure. There is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, you know what? We have a few minutes, and we might ought to get to it. I don't remember where I heard this, but it made a great deal of sense. Medicine is medicine. There's nothing easy about administering medicine. And in this case, it would be the truth of what people are being led into. They're volunteering to be led, but they don't know where they're being led. And medicine, you just take it if you really want to get better. You just take it. And the truth is like medicine. It's unpleasant, but you just take it if you want to get better. So let's take some. What is the cure for zombieism? And then we can go into some other things, some Orwellian things and the CFR and some other things to just keep at the forefront, keep the awareness going. But what is the cure for zombieism?
We have to understand that we have become complacent and apathetic. We have fallen asleep at the wheel. We have enjoyed an abundant culture a little bit too much. We, as a society, as a whole, I'm not saying everybody has done this, but as a whole, people have enjoyed entertainment too much and thought that somebody else would take care of it. Oh, somebody must be paying attention. There's the watchdog group. There's somebody is working on it. Nobody has worked on it. So we need less entertainment. We need to put an importance on education. People need to turn off the music, the mainstream media musical mind-controlling machine in their car on the way to work every day that's playing the same 20 songs every single day for months and months and months. Everybody knows this who listens to mainstream radio. It's just the same 20 or 30 songs. It's three-minute mind control. Listen to talk radio. Listen to books on tape. Read some books. You know, we live in a culture where reading is frowned upon. People make fun of people who, oh, you're reading a book. So we need to, you can get an incredible education in your car. Most people drive 20, 30, 40 minutes, an hour to and from work. Just even if you're listening to some political slanted mainstream talk show host, you're still at least getting some news. The callers are bringing up points. Shows like yours, you could be listening to a show like this on a podcast or stream it on your phone if you're a Coast to Coast subscriber, and also having accountability of partners, a mastermind group that will iron sharpens iron. And so you can keep people accountable. I know at one of my previous jobs, I was a manager, and I had a rule where if you swore three times in one day, you had to buy the other person in the area lunch. And that was to purge ourselves from the constant of dropping F-bombs and using inappropriate language in the workplace. And you can create a habit to cure that. You know, a habit, it takes 21 repetitions to create a habit. As Tony Robbins says, you have to make success a habit. And then after it becomes a habit, after you consciously start working towards a goal, start reading books, start listening to educational material, start listening to audiobooks, listening to talk radio, educational programs instead of the same songs over and over and over again, it becomes a habit, and then it will take over. The habit will take over subconsciously, and it becomes not even any work for you.
So you deprogram yourself, but you have to know what you're doing. And then you can, it's not like you have to remain unaware that you're being healed. You can be aware of it. You just have to do it.
And it's incredible. If you just turn off the radio, turn off the television, if you sit and listen to the crickets chirping or the birds singing, then you can get in tune with the universe. You know, that's when you will get in tune with yourself, with the world, with God. If you turn off all these outside influences, just for a little bit of day, try turning off the radio when you're driving to work in the morning and just getting in tune with your own thoughts, your subconscious, with God, with the universe, not having these outside influences telling you what to think, pumping words and lyrics into your mind. That is how you can get in tune and start to cleanse and detox yourself from this just digital devils.
You rock, man, and I'm not about to call you a dude. You know what I mean? I'm not going to call you a dandy either. I'm going to call you a treasure, because I don't know anybody else who is out there doing this, let alone doing it on the level that you are. And it's not, you know, everybody, please understand, this is not about criticizing our fellow human beings. It's true. We either all hang together or we're going to hang separately, but we're going to have to disconnect from this matrix. And speaking of the matrix, you'll never guess who's going to be on this program in the not too distant future. That would be Sophia Stewart, the author of The Matrix. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you just never can tell what's going to come on the bridge of the mothership that is Coast to Coast AM. Thank you very much for your compliments via email on the musical selections for your listening pleasure tonight on Coast to Coast AM. If you go to coasttocoastam.com, which you should, once a day at least, Lex during the week, and then Sean and Tim on the weekends, they will post that bumper music. Just go to shows, select the show, the date of the show that you heard the music on, and the list will be there. And you'll enjoy it. There's also, you can also purchase the music if you would like to have it on your little pod. So you can have it in your head anytime you want. All right, so let's take a quick break and get right back to Mr. Dice. And then we'll speak in just a little while with Michael Bolden of the 10th Amendment Center. You're going to like this. It's 10th Amendment states the Constitution's principle of federalism by providing the powers not granted to the federal government by that Constitution, nor prohibited to the states, is reserved to the states or the people. Maybe we ought to look at that. This is the one and only Coast to Coast AM. Delighted to be with you. Stand by. Mr. Dice, would you like to get into a few parallels between what George Orwell, talk about a visionary and a prophet, how some of his the precepts set forth in his work have it's not being hinted that they're being manifest in contemporary society, but they're in fact hardwired into it.
Yeah, particularly recently with the NSA revelations. George Orwell's book, 1984, many people, you know, familiar with it, written in 1949, published in 1949. Of course, that's where we get the term Orwellian from, referring to Orwell, his last name. But the parallels are striking. In 1984, the citizens had what were called telescreens in their homes that watched them and listened to them. And now we have smart televisions. Any new smart television that has a webcam and a microphone and now facial recognition, voice recognition, the Xbox system Kinect has telescreen capabilities. The parallels are incredible. The social structure, the government's control of information, a perpetual state of war, the personification of the party and of the leader, you know, the telescreens, a snitch culture, people's relationships in shambles, foreign countries painted as enemies, power-hungry officials, the erosion of the language. You know, in Orwell's book, 1984, the government was constantly in a state of war. The society was constantly in a state of war, and that was the justification for eliminating the rights and for having the economy be in shambles. And Winston Smith, the main character's girlfriend in the book, Julia, once mused aloud that perhaps it was the government carrying out the bombing of their own cities, paralleling what many say is what happened on 9/11. Which is a string of false flag attacks, just to keep the fear-mongering going. Also, it's very interesting that the main bad guy in the book was considered to be the mastermind behind everything. He was, you know, Emmanuel Goldstein. He was the source of all that was wrong with society. Kind of like for a decade or so, the government would have us believe Osama bin Laden was. I mean, anything bad that happened, a liquor store got robbed, it was Osama bin Laden. It was Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda did this, Al-Qaeda that. It's incredible the parallels, not only between the technology and the spying, but the social structure and the very fabric of society and the justification for eliminating their liberties. I mean, I'll quote to you from the book here, where Orwell writes about the kids, you know, Generation Z, what I call today. And again, not all of the children are lost to the zombie plague, but many of them are stuck playing on their smartphones instead of out building forts and riding bikes around the town. And Orwell wrote, nearly all children nowadays were horrible. They adored the party and everything connected to it. The songs, the processions, the banners, the hiking, the drilling with dummy rifles, the worship of Big Brother, it was all a sort of glorious game to them.
Right.
And the Ministry of Truth was the government institution that provided the citizens with all of the information. And it's this double speak, which means that it's the exact opposite of what it's called. And so the Ministry of Truth gave lies. You know, the Department of Defense in America is the Department of War. And so Orwell wrote that the Ministry of Truth provided all of the rubbishy newspapers containing nothing except sport, crime, astrology, and sensationalistic novelette, and films oozing with sex and sentimental songs.
This isn't that amazing?
Right out of the book. We are living in the Orwellian nightmare, and if we don't wake up, if we don't stop swallowing what the mainstream is selling, if we don't start loving our neighbor and start respecting our fellow man and start realizing that education is work, that we all have to put in some time, we all have to put in a season into being on watch, then we're going to be living in a society that is directly out of the novel. And Orwell warns that left to themselves, they will continue from generation, I'm quoting right from the book, they will continue from generation to generation and from century to century, working, breeding, and dying, without even the impulse to rebel and without the power to grasp that the world could be other than it was. The world can be other than it is. We just need to snap out of the trance that we have been induced in through this Operation Mockingbird mind control media, whether it's through the news all in concert or whether it's through this mainstream, these Illuminati icons, these just absolute Baphomet bimbos and Illuminati idols that have been rolled out for people. Orwell wrote that all the beliefs, habits, tastes, emotions, mental attitudes and that characterize our time are really designed to sustain the mystique of the party, meaning the government, and to prevent the true nature of present-day society from being perceived.
Mm-hmm. Mark, let's take a little trip together out on the clothesline. I want to get your take on something. And this is your time, so I don't mean to continue to make references to having Professor Griff on last night. He was a lot of fun, though, and quite enlightening. He made the observation that that our current president had almost like this Jesus-like character and aura about him, that he was going to solve problems, he was going to bring people together and so forth. And we know that presidents don't just like appear. They're made, they're groomed, they're guided, they're directed, they're placed, and then it's like, okay, he's ready. Trot him out. Let's see how it goes. With the overall agenda that we may not know, but we perceive the shadow governments, if you want to call it that, was trying to foist upon us, not only us, but the entire world, this globalist movement. Do you believe that, as I'm beginning to, that he's now being abandoned because the agenda didn't work as effectively or as quickly as was desired, and now it's sort of like, we don't know you anymore, pal, you're on your own. Do you think that's what's happening to him?
I don't necessarily think so. I think that the public is waking up. I think it's shows like yours and it's social media and it's the resistance, the people that have figured out this agenda, that have put together some of the pieces of the puzzle, that are throwing a wrench into the system. But it's like 2 feet on the same beast. You know, you got the Republican foot and you got the Democrat foot. And so at the end of the election cycle, or the beginning of the new election cycle, at the end of his term, they'll just use all of those reasons. They'll highlight the things that he did if they want to switch feet, if they want to go to a Republican. You know, he was presented as the solution that was everything was wrong with Bush. He's going to be peace. He's going to be love. He's going to fix the economy. And, of course, because he's part of the Orwellian invisible empire, he was, you know, he's not elected necessarily, he was selected. You know, Professor Griff knows a fair amount about the secret societies and the invisible empire, these Illuminati front groups. I mean, it's fairly well known in the underground and the alternative media that before President Obama was elected, he had a meeting with the Bilderberg Group. You know, the infamous shadow government, this pinnacle of power, the 100 or so of the world's most powerful men that meet every year. But just there's just not a word in the mainstream media. It's just not important. You know, you can't tell me that there's not an agreement amongst all the mainstream media news editors to just keep that silent, because you can't say that that's not a newsworthy event. It is a conspiracy by the very definition to keep it out of the public. So Obama had a meeting with them, And you can go and find the clip. You probably have seen it. For those who haven't, Robert Gibbs, his spokesman at the time, was confronted by the press corps who were following Obama around when they were shanghaied on an airplane. Obama snuck off the plane, and they took off, and they noticed that Obama snuck off the plane. They said, wait, where's Barack? And Gibbs, in the clip, you can see it says, he had some people wanted to meet with him. Yeah, just some people. You know, it just so happened that the Bilderberg Group was meeting in Chantilly, Virginia, about a half an hour, 40 minutes outside of Washington, D.C. And, you know, it's just a coincidence that he disappeared from the press corps to go to a secret little meeting. And, you know, this is what happened to Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was elected, selected through the Bilderberg Group. And they sort of field candidates. And somebody like Obama's, he's a willing servant of the system. I mean, the system is so rigged that nobody's going to get in there unless they know how it works.
Oh, absolutely. Man, that, you just hit the X ring with that one. And you know something else? I just had a little spike in the brain here. This thing about voter identification, people are saying, well, you're going to disenfranchise a huge group of people by making them show identification. Oh, it's too much trouble for these people to do this. Oh, you can't do this. This is just racism and just it's manipulations. Like, excuse me, if you go to the trouble to go to the polls, it's not any more nor less trouble to go and get an ID. Even people who request alms for the poor, shall we say, on the street, beggars, homeless people, panhandlers, whatever, even they have this new technique of showing an ID as if somehow this lends a little credibility to their cause by showing you the ID. What they really mean and will not say is that you're going to make it a lot harder for us to commit voter fraud and steal some elections if you do this. How dare you have anybody identify themselves as a bona fide citizen of the country? I mean, it just makes me sick listening to these idiots just try and convince us that there's something wrong with us who would like to have legitimate elections.
And especially if they're going to enact a voter ID act into law, you would have a year or 2 years to get your ID. It's not all of a sudden, from today, next week, you're just not going to be able to vote. There's going to be plenty of time. There would be groups, organizations that are going to go out and, you know, help the senior citizens or help the working people.
Right.
You have a year or 2 years to go and get your ID. You make a great point. A lot of homeless people, how do they get their booze? A lot of stores, it's the law. That doesn't matter how old you are. You must show ID. A lot of places scan your ID. You know, if some homeless guy on the side of the street can get an ID, I mean, certainly somebody could, you know, go and get one in a year's time for
about
voting.
4 years.
We know that the voting system is so rigged through the electronic voting fraud, the president of Diebold, which had to change their name because they got such a negative connotation about their electronic voting company. The president of Diebold had an internal memo that said, back in 2000, we're gonna give the election to President Bush. he's just going to be the guy.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is that, you know who I've noticed has kind of an, I don't know, paradoxical statement, who's dropped off the scope here, I've noticed, is Mr. Soros, whose buddy was over in Spain, supposedly counted the votes, didn't hear a thing about it. No more was said after that news was released. No more.
And it's a win-win either way, because whether Mitt Romney got in or Mitt Romney supported the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act. I mean, just you can't get a more blatant violation of the Bill of Rights, the freedoms that we hold dear in this country, than the National Defense Authorization Act. Mitt Romney was asked about it during the during one of the debates, and he said, "Oh yeah, I support that." Thanks for being honest that you are a tyrant too.
You know what I find is amazing, and it's just, it's never going to stop, which is why there really is a concerted effort here at Coast to Coast to stay away from partisan politics. So I just received an email that say, so this non-political guy can't even find one comment on the righties? It's like, if you were actually listening, pal, he just bashed the entire Bush lineage.
Yes, the Bush crime family. Bush was the Skull and Bones mouthpiece, a Skull and Bones Illuminati legacy. His father was the former head of the CIA. His grandfather was Illuminati Skull and Bones. His uncle, his cousins. Yeah, see, people accuse me of being racist because I do YouTube videos exposing musicians and, you know, Jay-Z, Kanye West, Lil Wayne, Beyonce. Okay, so they say, oh, well, you're racist. No, no, you just, I guess you just forgot. You missed the ones. They've deleted out of your mind the white artists that I've done, like Kesha, the white trash witch, Madonna, Justin Bieber, Katy Perry, you know, the devil child. It's incredible how these people will say, oh, you're a racist. You only expose black artists. Well, I guess you just don't have the memory. You deleted it. You're viewing the world. You've been so conditioned to see the world through a racist view. They're not even following what Martin Luther King said, to judge a man by the content of his character, not by the color of his skin. It's the content of the character of Rick Ross and Jay-Z and Lil Wayne, all these demonic dirtbags, is rotten to the core.
And you know, there's a big difference. We should be very careful the words that we use, because there's a big difference between racism and racialism. In the same way, there's a big difference between racist and bigot. Racialism is using race as a manipulation tool to get your way politically. Racist is an entirely different matter, just as that's race pride and thinking that your race is superior to everybody else's. It doesn't matter what race you belong to, that's how you feel. Yours is number one and everybody else is not as good as yours. That's racism. Bigotry is holding unreasonable prejudices against a group based on appearance, culture, or religion. People need to get, I think I'm going to offer a dictionary. Seriously, I'm not trying to be insulting here. I think I'm going to offer a really good dictionary on caravanthemidnight.com, and just make that available at the very same price that I have to pay for them, so that they can do what my dad told me. I'd say, what does this mean? He'd say, go look it up. Oh, that was the most irritating response I could ever get from my dad, because that meant I actually had to, like, work for 1 minute. You know what I mean?
I own a set of encyclopedias, and that's partially because I want a physical book copy, a whole 30-something set of them, to have as a record, just in case a solar flare hits and we get stuck back into the Stone Age. I will have a knowledge base of society, and that's what we need to do. When you don't know something, you go and look it up, and that's how you slowly become more educated. Instead of going and playing Angry Birds on your phone, maybe you should download the, you know, an encyclopedia app, or Wikipedia is not exactly entirely accurate. It's kind of an Orwellian information hub to largely protect and contain certain pieces of information. But yeah, people should read a dictionary. I remember being a kid, one of my friends would always go and look things up in the dictionary when we didn't know what it meant, and I thought it was a little bit funny, but now I realize how important that was.
Just so you know, Mark, there are way, way more great guest, great guy, good stuff than is, you're a shill for the right wing, Mark Dice. I don't think you're a shill for anything. I think you're a straight up guy, and we'll be staying in touch with you, so please stay in touch with us, and thanks for sharing a couple hours with us tonight, okay?
Hey, anytime. Keep it up. Appreciate you having me.
All right. Keep that six check too, pal, because as Voltaire said, it's really dangerous to be right when your government is wrong. All right, coming up, Michael Bolden, the 10th Amendment Center. Will you get a load of this? You're going to enjoy it a lot. By the way, going back to Fukushima just for a second, if you go to Unknown Country, that's Whitley Strieber's site. He has some disturbing information. The title of this, which was put on his site yesterday, here's the title: Fukushima Radiation Causing Canadian Herring to Hemorrhage from Their Eyes. Where will this end? He writes, aside from the human impact, fish are one of the primary food sources for many aquatic mammals, such as sea lions and dolphins, so I think we can guess that the future could look bleak for marine life. Prepare for what's to come. That's our motto. Make it yours. This is Coast to Coast AM. Enjoy the music while we get ready for some news and a few spots from our beloved sponsors, and we'll be right back with Michael Bolden.